Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is just between you and me, okay?
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, well, I hear you, but if it's that intense, I'll need a solid buzz to think clear.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Job is to not strike guys out. Our guys, our job is to win baseball games. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't win today. And you know, really, that last one is gonna not settle well with me. You know, early on, just trying to find my rhythm, like I said. But you know, the last one, kind of a off the plate, up and away, and kind of a I threw it right where I wanted, and get kind of a off into the bat Crawford box homer. That sucks, especially after that game.
ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number if you'd like to get in here.
Quite possibly the worst tweet I've ever seen by Death by Sexy just now. Might want to check your time.
I know what it's going to be.
Yeah, you know what it is. You're not saying it out loud. It's the worst I've ever seen from him.
Yeah.
And I've seen some horrific stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the worst. Don't even read any of it.
Stop that. Stop that. Death by Sexy. That's terrible. What does John want to talk about here? You know this? I don't know this video. Why don't you, Del, bring up John? He's been waiting a little while here. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I just wanted to touch base on A.J. Hinch's decision to only throw Presley one inning yesterday. If you bring up the video from Domingo Ayala called Pitch Count, I think it kind of fits right into your conversation. It's a pretty good video.
Domingo Ayala. Got it. All right. Thanks, man.
Oh, no. Is this real?
Pitch count.
We'll have to bring it up. I think it's...
Theory of baseball.
I think...
Is it
no, it's not real. Look at that mustache. Del, can you just pull up Domingo Ayala's... pitch counts.
Are you sure you can play it?
Pitch counts. Well, that's why I need Dell to check it out first. Yeah. Just go to YouTube and Domingo Ayala's pitch counts. And I have not seen this before, but I can already tell from that mustache that this is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be.
This is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not super long. Just make sure it's clean.
That's all. That's all we need.
And worthy of,
we'll look at
the air.
We'll look at it, John, behind the scenes, and then see if we can't play it. In the meantime... Oh, I don't know if you know this. The St. Louis Blues won St. Louis a championship. Congratulations.
I thought we were going to wait for Raheel.
What about a 10-3 road team in the playoffs? That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
6-7 at home. You don't see a team that is 6-7 at home in the postseason win championships.
Can't win at home. Well, wait a minute. What did the Astros do when they won the World Series at home versus away? No, because they sucked in New York and they came back. And
last year they were a bad home team.
Yeah.
This year they've turned that totally around. Reagan continued to tell me it was because how much they all hate their families.
It's not what he said.
Yeah.
He said when they get away from their women, they concentrate better.
But you know, maybe that's the case.
He said they concentrate better.
With one particular player.
Hey, I just know this. When I'd go on the road to L.A., away from all
you
the distractions.
That. You hate being away.
I did my best work.
You hate being away
efficient.
From your family.
I was more efficient on the road than at home.
Is your wife,
it's a real thing.
Did you clean the freezer yesterday?
Yes. And it wasn't good enough. She's like, what the
so
is
Lance,
this?
Lance leaves bottles, Topo Chico bottles in the freezer.
Usually. This
or
time
Dasani
it was a Dasani can. Listen to this. It blew the top off the can.
Well, of course it did,
like,
Lance.
One of these like bombs. Carbonated water turns into legitimate bombs in a freezer.
Yeah.
When it freezes, it blew the top of the can off. I've got a video I could show you. I'm like, and I chipped off you know, the water turned to ice. I chipped it off okay. It was good enough. And she's
damn
like,
it. I'm pretty sure it wasn't good enough.
Oh my God. You think this is clean? And I'm pretending to sleep. I'm pretending like I'm taking a nap in the bed. I'm like, let's get in here. And I'm like,
oh, he what text did you get yesterday? Clean my bleeping freezer.
Yeah. And I just said, I love you.
I love you.
I just sent back, I love you.
So
no text, no bubbles, nothing. She just left me on red.
Yeah. So I forget what we were talking about.
You're talking about the Dasani blowing up.
No,
in
but
the
before that, I forget.
Pitch counts with Ayala.
Dell, how is it?
It's clean.
It's clean. Okay.
It's supposed
is
to be pretty
funny. Is it worth listening to?
It's too. Well, it's about a minute 40. I mean, if you like a white dude doing an accent.
Yeah.
Well,
we do.
And this is wonderful.
Actually, yes.
Put it on.
Play. Yeah. Play. Yes.
White dude doing a bad accent.
He doesn't look. He looks like he is.
Oh my goodness!
From Latin America.
So I went to pitch the other day. Mr. Coach say, "Hey Domingo, we're gonna keep you at 100 pitches." I say, "What are you talking about? We're going more than 12 innings?" Nowadays, everyone have a pitch count. They say it to protect the arm, but I don't understand. There are more arm injury today than there is back in the day when there's no pitch count. Maybe we have the arm injury because no one ever throw no more. You got player over here coming in. Mr. Coach, the doctor say I shouldn't throw for 4 days because I threw 25 pitch yesterday. And you wonder why your arm hurt after 75 pitch? Because you never do it. Back in the day, you throw 240 pitches a game, no Tommy Juan. Today, you throw 24 pitches, Tommy Juan. Out for 2 years. I have Tommy Juan, sit out for 2 weeks. I don't even need it. I just want to see what it feel like. You know who arm never hurt? The shortstop in third base over there who make 100 throw across a diamond 7 days a week. Imagine if those guys have a throw across a diamond count. Mr. Coach going to be walking out there. Mr. Umpire, I going to make a shortstop change? You're throwing too much. They're not complaining. Then you got the trainer over there in the dugout. You need some ice? You want me to rise your arm? You need some stem? You want a glass of water? The guy just threw 40 pitches. Why he need to ice his arm? He should be rubbing everyone else's arm. What they should be saying is, hey, why you give up 5 runs? Why you give up a 3-run shot to the 9-hitter? You're terrible. Go ice yourself. And come on, his arm not even hurt. He just mad he give up 5 runs in 2 innings. Gotta blame it on something. If you not throw 100 pitch or more in a game, you not deserve treatment.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm with.
What do you think about the music there, Dell, and the accent?
Well,
the accent, first of all, is pretty good. Imagine.
Well, because that's your accent. He did what you do.
No, imagine is.
He morphed back into an American there a couple of times.
Celia Cruz, who is Cuban, says, imagine going to New York.
New York. Is that what he said?
New York.
New York.
Hearing the great ones, feel my heart and soul. Ooh. I'll play it if you want off the phone. Into
I
the
don't
mic like
imagine
that.
You're duplicating that perfectly.
It's pretty close.
I'm out of this. I don't like people making fun accent using accents.
I'm not a fan.
No,
particularly on a, day, on a Thursday. I don't like when you do accents, Lance.
You know what's the best is when John feigns his holier than thou stuff.
That's not what we do around here.
Look, you've brought an element to the show that has kind of been overlooked, but. I mean, if we just go through some of your history, Lance, you've brought an ugly element to the show that's gone unchecked.
Guys, can I be a glory boy?
What's
that?
It's an ugly element that you brought to the show.
Glory boy is... That was Teron Matthew.
Shrivel.
You got John to do that because of your influence.
No, that was Teron Matthew started all that stuff.
Guys, can I be a glory boy?
Yeah, Teron Matthew. That's why he had to be gone.
No, it's because you wanted to be in our group chat. And that's what you said.
Squirt.
See, you've brought an ugly influence.
Why did I say that?
I don't know. No one knows.
I don't remember.
What did I say that for? I don't.
You were upset
know
about
I
something.
Said, I know. I could tell I was upset. I don't know what I was so mad about that I yelled that. It's regrettable.
You brought your fetishes to this show.
I like pretty feet.
Yeah, all of your fetishes are now in the show. Okay.
Look, Rich Paul, the agent for Anthony Davis. Says, well, the Celtics can trade for him. It's going to be for 1 year. So nothing.
Rich Paul wasn't, or is that RuPaul?
That's RuPaul.
Oh,
not Rich Paul. It's RuPaul. Lance, you're done.
There's a substantial difference between the agent Rich Paul And
you think LeBron helped RuPaul rebrand into an agent?
The drag queen racing show called.
It's 2019. I can't remember. I don't know what LeBron's doing. Who he's helping?
You thought he helped RuPaul rebrand into an NBA agent?
Huh. Let's check something. Didn't he used to be? Is that what you said? No, he's never. RuPaul's Drag Race, where drag queens, I don't know if they actually race, or I don't really know what they do. Let me ask you a question real quick, John. I'm just going to go to Google Image. Do you think this is Anthony Davis's agent? This is RuPaul.
It's 2019.
No,
why are we going to hold him back?
I mean, it's not unlikely. Why are we going to hold him back? The guy's name is Rich.
Without the wig.
Oh. Let's see.
Without the wig, I still don't feel like that looks like an agent for an NBA player.
Hey, it's 2019. Open your mind. Okay?
I get it.
Okay? Let's open your mind. And why can't RuPaul be an agent now?
RuPaul could be an agent. It's just not the case.
Yeah, he's just not representing Anthony Davis.
You don't know what his aspirations are.
I know he's not representing Anthony Davis.
I know he's not representing Anthony Davis. Nope.
It could be LeBron. We don't know.
It's not.
It seems to me he could represent Russell Westbrook.
Russell, what do you mean by that? What does that mean?
I'm just saying.
What's the connection?
He could be dressing Russell Westbrook.
Well, I mean, maybe. But
It seems that way to me.
Russell Westbrook is not represented by RuPaul either, as it turns out.
He says you don't know what's going on.
No, it's actually, it's easily found information.
You don't know what's going on.
No.
814 ESPN 97.5. You know what I have? I have Rich Paul's trust.
Not RuPaul's trust.
Not Ruth. I got Rich Paul's trust. Lance, whose trust do you have?
I have the people's trust, and I have people's trust as an organization, as my financier for my vehicles. And why wouldn't I do that? They're great. They have the best rates out there. They're a federal credit union, and you can join that credit union. It used to be you had to be a teacher or a firefighter, or, you know, you had to be in an organization that was in a credit union. And I remember growing up, that was a really big deal because my mom was in a credit union. I was like, why is it a big deal? And she just said, we just get more benefits than other people. And there are benefits to banking. I know for a lot of people, you just feel like you throw your money in there, you write your checks. Well, no one writes checks anymore, but you use your debit card. You go, you have, you know, direct deposit. You don't mess with it. But if you go to choosehappyhouston.com, they really give you so much more. And you really need to know about this. This is considered unbanking. It's not standard banking. It's unbanking. And you can see the different rates that they have, the different rates of return on CDs and investments. They have different loans that they can get you at better rates, whether it's home improvement loans. I've got I went inside. This is like 3 years ago. I've got a $35,000 line of credit that I've never touched, but it's there for me anytime I want. I open it up, and if we want to do home improvement stuff, I can get to it anytime I want. If we want to use it for college or whatever it would be, I can get to it anytime I want. And that's the benefit of being with a company, a federal, you know, credit union like the good folks right here in Houston at People's Trust. Fee-free ATMs all over the city. And when you open up a checking account, they'll just give you $50. Just like, thanks a lot. Bing, $50. Choose happiness, Houston. ChooseHappyHouston.com. Go to the website and find out more about People's Trust, your bank. They're waiting for you. ChooseHappyHouston.com. Federally insured by the NCUA. Certain restrictions apply.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Head out to the second annual Mike Rozier's Heisman Players Weekend, June 20th through the 23rd, all benefiting the Mike Rozier Cancer Foundation. A weekend full of former Heisman winners and fun events, including 36 holes of championship golf at Black Horse Golf Club, a father-son lunch with the athletes, plus a memorabilia show at the Wyndham. For more information and to reserve your spots now, head to hometeamevents.org. Now back to John and Lance.
All right. 820 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, if you'd like to get in here.
The fans are clamoring. Renee says, what time does Raheel get in so we can talk Game 7 of Stanley Cup? Boston, woohoo! Can we play some Gloria?
Yeah, we should no, we should be the, playing Gloria.
But the hockey stuff doesn't start until Raheel gets in at 9.
That's true.
That's when it starts.
Yeah, does ESPN rush to talk about hockey before Barry Melrose comes on? We have our own Barry Melrose and Raheel. So when he gets here, the hockey talk will start. Mm-hmm.
That is true.
And proved it yesterday with all the knowledge he had.
Well, yeah. It'd be senseless for us to talk about hockey
with
Barry Melrose.
What did he call Wayne Gretzky? I asked him what his nickname was, and he called him
Dominator
or something like that.
All I know, it wasn't his actual nickname.
No.
The great one I thought was a layup. I mean, I thought that was an absolute layup. Hey, there was a question that my wife got asked. My wife came in all nervous yesterday into the room. She goes, hey, I got to ask a question by Snacks that I don't know the answer to.
Ooh, is it about the birds and bees?
That's what I was thinking. I said, what was it? He goes, who the five greatest NBA players are, like, of all time at all positions, the five greatest.
So he goes to your wife for this?
Well, he quizzes everybody at all times.
Okay.
It's like, who are the greatest threes? Who are the five greatest threes of all time? Who are the – and he's got – you know, he knows all the historical guys, so he'll sit there and argue with you about people he's never in his life ever seen.
Right.
And he'll have the, Dave DeBuscher should get more respect. Like, what are you talking – I've never seen Dave DeBuscher. I mean, what are you talking about,
Dave? I haven't.
Bob Petit. I said it's Bob Pettit. It's Bob Petit. Look how it's spelled. I'm like,
it's Bob Pettit.
Son, it's Bob Pettit. But so I was like, oh, thank God it's just basketball stuff. But they hit me with this one. My son Alec hit me with this one. And I thought this was actually pretty hard. I'll let Dell play this game too. Who, if you were the Dallas Cowboys and you could only keep one player, who would it be? Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, or Dak Prescott? That actually ended up being a harder question for me than I thought.
I don't find it all that difficult.
Okay, what's your answer?
I'm taking the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm taking the quarterback.
See, too. And I ended up going quarterback for the very reason we're going to talk. And yet, of the three, I probably have the least
confidence. Who's the best player of the three?
I think
Zeke.
Who's the most easily replaceable of the three?
Zeke.
Is it? Zeke or Amari, which one?
Well, in today's NFL, how often do you use a fourth overall pick or second pick like the Giants did? And look at what the Giants did with a second overall running back.
Well, but you can
if you don't have that guy, obvious.
You can get running backs, you can get wide receivers.
Quarterback means.
However, of the three, who's the least? I mean, Amari Cooper really opened my eyes last year. I thought he was
spectacular. Let's see if we had an analytics guy, which one do you think he'd take?
Like a numbers
guy? Is that tampering?
Guy?
Can he talk about
a numbers guy?
QB.
Yeah.
Obvious.
Well, we all answer QB.
Yeah.
But here's the problem.
But is Dak the best of the three? No. Dak is the worst player of the three.
I think.
Of the three.
But there's different values. Obviously, there's different priorities you have. Which brings up this. That's why I think you make mistakes at quarterback based on your fear of the unknown. Because the unknown can turn into where the Texans were before they had matchup. Where the Buffalo Bills have been literally forever since Jim Kelly. Where the Cleveland Browns had been for a long, long time. You never want to get there. You're terrified of getting there. But the fact is, your fear of being there ends up forcing you to give big money to Dak Prescott. Like, I don't want to give big money.
And Kirk Cousins.
And Kirk Cousins. And any number of players who end up getting the big money deals that you know are not going to lead you to championships.
But,
and yet you have to pay them like that.
But Dak has a proven record of he's won.
Of average to...
Well,
average.
But winning.
I mean, he wasn't average in year 1 and 3.
Yeah.
He was average in year 2.
I think he was average by NFL standard. Dak Prescott was not average by NFL standards at quarterback.
Almost 68% completions.
No, don't tell me about completion percentage.
I watched him, and in fact, he's been actually good in
playoff
games.
You're saying last year Dak was above average. Now, average, you got to remember now what I mean by average. I'm talking about the league average.
What are they asking Dak to do? Because this is the same argument we had with Russell Wilson for multiple years until they had to actually depend on Russell Wilson. This is the same talk about what is Russell Wilson as a quarterback until that stuff kind of went away.
Russell was a playmaker. Russell was never a snap taker. I believe Dak Prescott is a snap taker.
I know Dak Prescott has played his best in their playoff games.
What was Troy Aikman?
He was a snap taker. He was a game manager. He's an over-glorified game manager.
What was Joe Namath?
I don't know. I didn't watch him on regular. I was too young.
Well, but you can look at his stat. He threw more interceptions than touchdowns.
Yeah, that's
where would he be today?
But that's a vertical.
It was a vertical. Yeah,
I mean, I don't even like. Okay, let me tell you. Okay, where was
Alex Smith, though? They're winners.
I don't. But
and you know what? Alex Smith is a winner.
Dak Smith's not a winner. I don't think Alex Smith is a winner that you pay.
Alex Smith is a winner.
Alex Smith did good
when
he got out with Andy Reid.
Listen. When he was in San Francisco, he had a different offensive coordinator every single year. When he got some stability and an offensive mind, he was a winner.
And his yards per attempt were dink and dunk. He had a great running game with him all the time. The Alex Smith thing, you know who's winners? Anybody who plays for Andy Reid. Donovan McNabb was a winner with Andy Reid. Alex Smith, all
you
of a sudden, look
make
at that.
The, you know what?
Pat
you still
got
to make the plays. You still
but
make.
Every quarterback he's with is phenomenal. That's not a...
Yeah, no. And look at
the right quarterbacks.
Phenomenal is a little
bit
of a reckless
term. Look at Jared
Goff
from Fisher to McVay.
Well, first of all, Alex Smith is the least effective of Mahomes, McNabb, and Alex Smith. He's the least effective of those three, statistically speaking, and really otherwise to me.
Yeah, okay. He was limited in what he could do. He doesn't throw the ball down the field, but he was still a winner.
But I'm not here. But that's not a guy you also want to get $28 million guaranteed to, Alex Smith. Wait, that's my point.
Well, the discussion was about Dak Prescott. I don't.
Right.
People forgot because of what Aaron Rodgers did, but Dak Prescott in his first playoff start was awesome.
Yeah, that was a great game, but I can't keep going back to what happened
he
3 years
well
ago.
He played well in the playoffs this year.
I mean, last year, you look at Dak, his interception percentage went down, which is very important to me. It went way down, which is very, very good. I just think he's been consistent. I don't see the numbers, and I don't see the plays, the explosive plays from Dak Prescott that I see. Like, there's no comparison between him and Russell.
Well,
I think Russell Wilson was...
When Amari Cooper got here, how much more explosive were the Cowboys?
They look a lot better once he had... And that's what I'm saying. He's not an elevator... Well, he doesn't elevate those around
him.
Who is
explosive when you don't have explosive players to throw the ball to?
No, he needed help. There's no question about that. But at some point, you have to ask yourself, do you make others around you better, or do they make you better? I always ask myself that about young quarterbacks when I'm trying to determine who is a true franchise quarterback, a face of the franchise, get you the wins, put the team on his back when he needs to. I don't believe Dak Prescott's a team on the back.
I know you're
arguing. I do think Deshaun is.
You're arguing against the Russell Wilson thing. Go look at Russell Wilson early in his career. It was Marshawn Lynch and that defense, and people questioned Russell Wilson
and probably until year four. No, and I knew the answer, and I
argued
against those fools because if they looked at explosive plays, Russell Wilson's explosive play total on his passes and rushes, this is where me as a numbers guy, I was able to elevate over dummies trying to argue against me. I had the numbers because I'm a numbers guy. I said, oh, really? Explosive play percentage. Boom. Roasted.
Where's that stat?
I dabbed before anyone else was dabbing.
Where's the explosive play percentage stat?
Well, I had it on the ice platform.
Dak's rookie year, 23-4. That's pretty. And
I don't. What do we care about
a division title?
For?
His third year, 22-8, a division title.
That's solid. 22. Great.
Well, I mean, but they're a running team. That's what they do.
I know. And guess what their success is tied to? In both instances, mm-hmm. you might want to mention that guy called Ezekiel Elliott.
What was Russell Wilson's success tied to? Yeah. Until it wasn't.
Marshawn, they ran the ball and played defense.
You can't keep saying it until it wasn't. Because we can go back and look at his explosive plays and how many times he made plays to win games for them late
games.
How many
times was Amari Cooper running free on explosive plays when he was playing for the Cowboys this past season?
So you're telling me Dak Prescott got this because of the quick slants? Because let me tell you what he had a lot
of. All,
slant and run.
There were
slant
a bunch. There are a couple deep balls. I mean, for whatever reason, Dak.
How did
Amari
look here in Houston against the Texans?
That was
booty.
That was one game. He had a good season.
What do you see from Dak Prescott that's impressive to you?
I'm not saying he's impressive, but I think you keep talking about explosive plays. I remember explosive plays for that team this year with an actual number one wide receiver. I don't think the comparison is that dissimilar. Well, now, Russell Wilson has elevated himself, certainly, but the first 3 years of his career,
Russell's better.
I'm not saying he's not better.
It happened way quicker.
The first 3 years, Russell Wilson was a guy they believed depended on defense in the running game.
He was 26-10, 26-9, 20-7 his first 3 years. They won, but they won because of the running game. They won with defense in the running game.
Go look at his running yards. He was part of the running game.
Yeah.
He extended plays. He made plays on third downs. That's what I'm saying. Russell has always had it in him. Do you think Dak Prescott has it in him where he's going to have an explosion and he'll turn into a and if you ask him to do more, he is a classic case of the more you ask of him, the diminishing returns. The less you ask of him, the more valuable he is because he can manage games. And there's nothing wrong with Dak being a game manager. And you say, look, we're going to run the ball. We're going to play up. We're going to play off of the run. That's great. That's what he needs.
Yeah, no, I
That's
agree.
What he needs.
If you're asking him to throw 40 times a game, Russell you're going to lose the game.
Russell can do it. That's why Russell always had it in him. I don't care how they started when they were
a defense.
How do
we know that he always had it in him?
Who
Russell Wilson?
Because he showed it.
What proof did he always?
Well, to me, and this is, and I'm not speaking out of turn. I saw the numbers on the StatsEyes platform where I looked at his explosive play percentage, and it was tremendously high. When you added it's plus 25 for passing and plus 15 for running. I think is what they had for ice, and the stats, Stats LLC, Stats Inc., whatever. 25 yards pass is considered explosive play for them, and a 15-yard run. And Russell Wilson was up there with Tom Brady in terms of explosive total plays, even in year three. And everyone's like crapping on Russell Wilson, and I couldn't believe it. I just said, don't you guys watch when he makes these big plays on third downs and keeps drives going? And I don't see that with Dak. That's why I don't see it, Dell. I don't see a guy who makes these big plays at big moments. I just see a nice little average quarterback, and you're going to end up paying him just like Matt Schaub got paid at one point, just like Kirk Cousins gets paid. That's my problem with having average quarterbacks. You get stuck in big money for average, and I would rather have great or bad.
I hope you're right about Deshaun being – but last year I think we saw – well, Deshaun did – he made plays. He still made plays. Listen.
You think he's a snap taker or playmaker?
He's a playmaker.
We're going to talk about Dak Prescott.
He's a playmaker,
season,
but
you're not
listen,
talk about Deshaun?
This is going to be a whole different year. He's going to have to go heads up against great quarterbacks, and we're going to find out whether or not.
Well, he's going to go heads up against defenses. That's all he can control.
No, I know it, but he's going to have to get into shootouts. And we'll see whether or not, because his rookie year, he was unbelievable and yet couldn't win shootouts. Because right. and not on him,
well, the defense.
Not on him because of the defense, and you know what's going to happen again? It's going to be the same way this year.
Well, do your job. All he can do is do his job.
Well, in the first,
well, he wasn't last. He would last year. He wasn't
job
the guy
last
he was
down,
the year before. No. All right, it's 8:32 ESPN 97.5.
Let me tell you about my friends over at TGS Insurance. So TGS Insurance, they aggregate a bunch of different homeowners insurance companies, right? You've heard of the big names who do the advertisements, and then you have, and then there's basketball players and their houses are being torn up by mascots or shooting t-shirt rockets and all that. Yeah, that's great. And they spend a lot of money on advertising, and you know where they make it up? They make it up with your premiums. Did you know there's a lot of homeowners insurance companies out there that maybe you haven't heard of who are doing great jobs of writing policies, paying people off when they need to be paid off on issues with their homes, and who are so much less expensive because they don't have those outrageous advertising budgets? Well, TGS knows who they are. They aggregate those companies, and they have them available. And when you text money to 232323, they are going to get you a free quote and find you the very best home insurance companies and prices that they can. They'll give you a firm quote within seconds when you text 232323. You text money to 232323, and then you are going to be ready to roll with a brand new insurance company. They handle everything. They'll get you to DocuSign it. You can make the switch over within 1 hour. You can have brand new homeowners insurance. They break up with your old company, and they will work to get all of your prorated, and you're going to get all your prorated money back. You don't have to wait for your insurance term to finish. You can make the change anytime you want. Go to the website, you can go to the website, tgsinsurance.com, or simply text money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.37 here on the bench, right here on ESPN 97.5, arguing a little bit about quarterbacks. Biscuit, we see you. We're going to get to you here in just a second. But right now, I guess we're on line one here. Let's get Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network, because we got to talk to him about what's going on with the Houston Texans and the tampering charges. If you didn't hear, I'd be surprised. But the Houston Texans were hit with tampering charges by the New England Patriots, who said that the Texans tampered with Nick Caserio in the process of trying to find a brand new general manager. And joining us right now to shed some light on that is NFL Network's Mike Garofalo, one of the best in the business. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
What's happening? Thank you for having me this morning. Let's get into some tampering talk.
Okay, so tampering talk. Our favorite thing here is tampering talk. The Houston Texans have really had a phenomenal offseason up to this point so far. Some really good stuff going on here. Fired GM after 11-5 season. Their backup plan seems to be to go steal New England's guy, but
or their original plan is.
Well, that's their that's their plan.
Right.
There's so much of this just looks like they said, look, Gaines fine, but this guy's better. Let's go get this guy. And a lot of that coincides with Jack Easterby coming in the building in April. He's barely been in Houston at all. He came over from New England. Previously, he had been at Kansas City as a part-time chaplain. Tell us a little bit about what you know about, first of all, Jack Easterby and the potential power he may have in the building, and what you think about the tampering charges, whether or not they can stick.
I don't know where the Easterby love came from all of a sudden, because this guy was highly sought after this offseason, once it was clear he was leaving New England. I mean, the Dolphins were in it heavy, from what I heard. And listen, it's all going to be New England connection. So you got Flores down in Miami. He wanted him down there. But to thrust him into such a integral role in the organization as the Dolphins wanted to and the Texans have, it's amazing to me and to a lot of people around the league, but certainly a high level of respect from those who have been around him and worked with him before. And from what I was told, and I don't know if anything's out there, I mean, I was told he got a ton of money to go to Houston. My understanding is Miami thought that the number was at least told that the number they were going to have to beat was $1 million a year. So I don't know what the number wound up being in Houston, but I know it's up there. So there was a lot of interest in Easterby to come in. To lead our organization, I know a lot of people think he's a really smart guy, and has the ability to be an influential person in an organization like he is being in Houston. Now, as it pertains to the tampering stuff, the timing was sketchy. You know, he goes to the ring ceremony the next day, Ding gets fired, and pretty soon the Texans are moving in on Caserio. So unless New England has a recording, a transcript, something of the actual conversations that happened here, I don't know how you could prove a coincidence or what's the word that I'm looking for. I mean, just the fact that two guys were in the same place, I know how it looks, but unless you've got the proof, I don't know how you can carry this one all the way through.
Is it that big a coincidence, though? I mean, one day Easterby is talking to Caserio at the ring ceremony. The next day, Gaines fired. Is it any more than this that hey, Gaines is great, but Caserio is better. Let's make this move.
Well, a couple of things. From when this first happened, when Gaines first got fired, I said, come on, Nick's not leaving New England. I said this to somebody who's intimately involved. And the person said, actually, I'm pretty sure the opposite is going to happen. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, it's just because the thought was he was comfortable in New England, sustained success up there, yada, yada, yada. But the person who, you know, he's not up in New England, but he's involved in a lot of this stuff. He said to me, it's a different kind of situation up there now. Brady's not going to play forever. Who knows how long Belichick's going to coach, although I've been given no indication that's coming to an end anytime soon. But it's like, now make the jump. And, hey, look what Joe Douglas just got from the Jets. If Joe Douglas can get $3.3 million a year or whatever it wound up being, who's to say Casario can't crash four and really start to push the number for general managers, which I know the average fan is going to hear this and go, you got to be kidding me, but general managers are underpaid. I mean, look at what coaches are making. General managers for years, in relation to coaches and players, have been underpaid. Yes, they've been making over $1 million, but on the whole, and now Joe Douglas and his hiring seems to have pushed things forward. And so the thought was, if Casario can get a big contract now, now's the time to jump, to go somewhere with a guy that he's comfortable with, and Bill O'Brien, now's the time to do it. So that's kind of where this got to. And I know how you say, listen, I know how it looks. And I know that any rational person could probably say, come on, you really think that they didn't talk to Casario about this before they fired Brian? Of course they did, right? But until you have the proof, it's kind of hard to push it. I think, personally, what's happening here is New England knows Casario is going. They may be a little perturbed by the fact that Easterby is gone now and running a different organization. And they're saying, you know what? Let's just make it a little difficult for them. Throw out these tampering charges. This is going to at least slow it down for them. So the best way to speed it up, all right, let's just work out some compensation and make this thing go away.
They might have to give up something to New England, you think, that and then drop it?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, because how long is the NFL's investigations can take a while, right? And you want a general manager at some point. I understand there's not a whole lot going on here, but at some point you want your GM's boots on the ground to start working to figure out what you have and to get ready and get himself settled. I mean, look, he's going to have to upend his life and get new roots down in Houston, and it's going to take a while to get all that going right now. It's not an ideal time for this to be happening. So at the very least, even if New England doesn't have the smoking gun that I'm talking about, you slow it down, you maybe get yourself something back. Why not?
You know, Mike Garofalo joins us from NFL Network. And, Mike, this is – you know, it really looked like, if you really start to add all the pieces up, the Texans had to have thought they had a great shot at Nick Casario before they got rid of Brian Gain. Like, if you really start to add everything up, it makes the most sense that they believe they had a great shot. That's not unusual for teams to do their due diligence and try to get that information beforehand. You can call it tampering if you want. Free agency's tampering all over the place. You talk to somebody who knows that person. But I just think it's going to be hard to prove there was – I think it's going to be hard to find proof that there was tampering. And so if this is all about New England playing the card they need to slow the process down and try to get a draft pick for him rather than just have to let him walk, I get it. That's very smart by the Patriots. I don't know if I'm giving in if I'm the Houston Texans. They have too many roster needs to just give away draft picks.
The alternative is you move on to one of your backup plans, which would be Monty Austinfort in New England as well.
Right.
And I know his name's been kicked around. My understanding is that's another guy that they would be comfortable with. And I don't know that they wouldn't play the same game with him. I thought, you know, I'm sure at some point he could be talking to Austin Ford at the ring ceremony, and they could say, hey, we saw those guys talking, and, you know, saw them talking too. I'm sure he's do these kinds of things, like you said, to slow it down. But until you have the proof I don't know what the compensation is going to wind up being. I don't know that it's going to be a first-round pick. That seems awfully high to me. I understand what you're saying, Lance. They've got the need. They've got to be able to do these kinds of things. But, you know, if you send a pick, make it go away, get moving. If you believe that much in the guy you're hiring, he'll be able to overcome the loss of one pick, two picks, whatever it winds up being. That's the way that a lot of people think sometimes. And look, I just Belichick thinks it's war, you know. I say that lightly because I know that Bill has respect for the military. I don't mean it that way. I mean, it just the way that things happen in the NFL. Anytime you've got leverage or the ability to weaken an opponent or attack an opponent's weakness, Why not take it? That's the way that he operates, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's what this is all about.
Let me ask you this, because we're inside this thing, and, you know, we're like, what the hell? What's going on? Brian Gain is all of a sudden fired on a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. A great time to do that so the media doesn't jump all over you. But the Jets caught so much hell for the way they handled Maccagnan, and the Texans are catching a bye here from the national media. What's it like outside looking in at the Texans?
Listen, we had this discussion on my colleague Ian Rappaport's podcast the other day. Let's give his podcast a little pop there. So we had this conversation. I said, you know, if the Jets did this, which the Jets did this, we're talking about clown emojis, circus, same old Jets. All of these things are being thrown out. And in the end, the Jets are stronger because they have Joe Douglas in there instead of Mike Maccagnan, right? I mean, it wasn't so much about the move that they made. It was about the timing of it. For the Houston Texans, I mean, yeah, you can argue that Brian Gain never really got a shot to do a whole lot there because he didn't have a whole lot of draft picks coming in. He only had 17 months. Maybe he could have been more aggressive. Maybe he could have retained Tyrann Mathieu this offseason, done a better job of that. Whatever. We can have all those conversations. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I said if the Jets did it, or if it was another organization known for tripping all over themselves, they would have caught a lot more heat than the Texans are catching on this one. I guess it's the fact that the Texans have had, you know, relative sustained success recently. Bill O'Brien's done a nice job, hasn't really made that last leap into making this team one of the elite teams in the NFL right now, but maybe he believes that this is the last piece, that he's finally going to get his guy in here. I just go back to, you know, maybe the mistake was that the Patriots denied permission and the Eagles denied permission for Douglas, Austin Fort, and Caserio, and the Texans wanted to move quickly. I went back and checked all of our reports. I kept seeing that line in there. Texans want to move quickly. Maybe they should have waited. Maybe they should have taken their time and waited until after the Super Bowl. And made a real run at the guys they clearly had their eyes on at the time. I think that's where the criticism should lie for the timing of this happening now.
Let me ask you this last question.
Yep.
What's Bill O'Brien's reputation now? Rick Smith, he works with him. He catches it. Brian Gain works with him for 17 months. He catches it. Is there any fear working with O'Brien anymore?
Not from guys that know him. I would say, and this is going to be the last stand for Bill, because he's going to get his handpicked guy, and a guy that he knows very well, and a guy who, if they wind up getting Caserio, he's going to get a long deal, okay? And he's going to get a lot of power in the organization. He's going to get a lot of rope. So if this team is not successful, then maybe Nick can turn around, and I've seen it happen before. You know, guys who... we say, oh, here comes this guy. These two are buddies. Next thing you know, somebody's not successful. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's going to win the power struggle. This is the point at which Bill O'Brien is going to be able to say, okay, I got my guy. I'm really going to make this team successful. And if it doesn't happen, you know, then at that point, it could be the end for him. But I happen to think he's a terrific coach. I think a lot of people around the league think he's a terrific coach. And now that all the pieces are potentially in place, let's see the potential that a lot of people think he has, and maybe at some point in the next couple of years here, this team makes that final leap and becomes one of the elite teams in the NFL.
We'll see. I think a lot of this is going to be tied to how this ends up going down, and if it goes best case scenario and they get their GM, there can't be any more excuses. If it goes worst case scenario and they're found tampering, they lose a draft pick, and they don't get the GM that they want. I think it puts a lot of pressure on how this season ends up turning out. The Vegas number's 8.5 for wins, which is down. So,
that last one would be the ultimate disaster. They lose the draft pick and they don't get the guy that they wanted. Boy,
yeah. I mean, you better go out there and go deep in the playoffs in that scenario.
If you think the Patriots do have the smoking gun, you do whatever you possibly can to avoid that situation. Let's just get this thing wrapped up so we can get our guy before we get down.
Oh, 100%. Then you're willing to you're willing to play ball and move the draft pick. Listen, Mike, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thank you very much.
Mike Garofalo from NFL Network. Make sure and follow him on Twitter. Really good follow and a lot of great information. You know, Worksuite has a lot of great information for you, too, right now with all their locations. The Woodlands location, which I went out to, I was blown away. I rented I rented space, office space, for 3 years to do my NFL job because I'm just, you guys know me, I'm too ADD. I can't work from home. That's impossible. And there's a lot of you who are trying to do it, or you're trying to work from, you know, a workspace where it just doesn't make a lot of sense. You got to get your own spot. And they've got individual, did you know that they've got individual offices and micro offices, these really small ones in the Woodlands, for very, very reasonable prices so that you can work in a workspace that is your own. You can have your own office. As a matter of fact, that brand new Woodlands location, which is beautiful and very up to date, has enough space to accommodate 50 people at the Woodlands. They can accommodate 50 people. That's amazing. Generally speaking, it's going to be 1 to 20. So you can put multiple offices in, and there's a lot of oil and gas people. What they're doing is they've been downsizing, so they're going to offices at work suites to where they have the offices and all the amenities, the UPS, the FedEx, the shipping. They have their own a secretary who answers the phone and sends it back to your phone call. It looks and feels very, very professional, and yet you're paying way, way, way less. Month-to-month leases are available. They go up to 24-month leases, and then office pricing for terms or for teams of three or more are starting at $399 per month with all the bells and whistles and no setup fees. This is an amazing opportunity for you to finally get your own office and get the amenities that go with it. Worksuites.com, worksuites.com. There's five locations in and around the Houston area. Make sure you find one near you and post up in your own office, whether it's big or small, at worksuites.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey, let me tell you about something really cool going on right now with the Sugarland Skeeters tonight. If you were a teacher, and maybe your wife's a teacher, your husband's a teacher, whatever the case may be, this is a really cool thing they're doing with the Sugarland Skeeters at Constellation Field. You can enjoy two free tickets and $11 tickets for the rest of your group with proof of ID at their TDECU ticket office in honor of Teacher Appreciation Night. For those of you who are teachers, let's say you have a group that you hey, we got to go out and do something now that summer's here and we don't have the kids anymore. And why don't you go out to Sugarland Skeeters? You got great food, great beverages, and maybe most importantly, you can go out and enjoy your time together for really, really an inexpensive price. Proof of ID is necessary, but how about two free tickets and $11 for any other ticket that you buy for everyone in your group? And even better, you can enjoy $2 beer and sodas in honor of Thirsty Thursday, courtesy of Four Corners Brewing Company. Tomorrow night, it's on again. Watch the Skeeters take on the Bees and stick around for that great post-game fireworks ceremony that the kids absolutely love. Saturday is a special Saturday night post-game fireworks show and post-game concert from Sundance Head, courtesy of Aramco. So make sure that you check out all the great baseball going on with the defending champs. How about a 7-run second inning yesterday for the W? Make sure that you go watch the great baseballers and all the brand new, all the brand new rules are being tested out right here in the independent leagues with the Skeeters that are potentially the new features you're going to see in Major League Baseball. SugarlandSkeeters.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.